Okay, we're up to Pasuk Ches. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Ches, Tzadik and Yitzar Nechlatz. A Tzadik is saved from a Tzara. Nechlatz means he is released. Ve'avoy Rasha Tachtav, and the Rasha takes his place. Okay, now what exactly does this mean? Let's see Pasuk Ches.
Well, remember you asked a question, what is the definition of a Tzadik?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. But we see it, it's an interesting term, that when Akash Baruch Hu was looking at Avraham, I'm having the dialogue with Tzadikim, what would he look
Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim b'soichu iya.
They weren't looking for learning Torah, that's for sure.
Right, so we had yesterday that it's a... Okay, so I guess it depends on the context. We had yes, Utztaka Tiyalanu. In the context. On the one hand, Utztaka Tiyalanu. Utztaka Tiyalanu... Kinnish Malas is called Divya Torah Zos, that we learned that it refers to the Kim HaTorah. We learned Noach means to give Parnasa, to be Mazin, it means to be Oyen B'Nisayin. So it depends, in different places it means, indeed it means different things. Okay, so we have a Pasuk Ches, Tzadik Mitzor Nechlatz, Tzadik is say from Mitzorah. Ches. Tzadik mitzor nechlatz ve'yavoy rasha tachtav. Yitzudos pasuk ches. Tzadik kish nigzera tzadik tzara ala tzadik. When Rachman Litzlan a gzera tzara has been decided in shemaim upon the tzadik vavur hazuchus bala hagzera, and due to his merit the gzera is batal. Oh, kish nechlatz tzadik minat tzara. Yavoy rasha b'mukaymoy ala tzara hahi. A rasha has to fill in the gap. Once the gzera has been decided, there will be a gzera. The gzera must be fulfilled upon something or someone. So, if the tzaddik is going to be able to save himself to get out of the way, that but still, this gzera must be fulfilled, being that it came forth from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the only way that it can satisfy the satan is if a rasha comes in his place. He needs us. It's a very powerful thing. This idea. This is a very difficult concept, and it's discussed in many different ways. Let's see. Ki ein midas. Look at the next words. Ki ein midas hadin mispayes ad yavoy achar tachtav. The mitzudas David is not into Kabbalah. I think we very rarely come across the situation. Hashem aleichem. Welcome back. We very rarely come across an idea where the mitzudas David says something which touches upon kabbalistic inyanim. We are all brought up with a belief, with the notion that if a person did an avera, he may be deserving of punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may decide that it's for our best to be punished. But if we do tshuva, usfilu tztaka, then the gzera is canceled. And when we say it's canceled, it means finished. The show does not go on. That's it. Nothing's going to happen. That's how I think most of us. That's how we view. So what do we say? Ksar roya gzar din. We have the gzar din. So here along comes this pasuk, and the mitzvah stuff it says it's perish, and a lot of the kabbalists they develop this in more detail. No such thing. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides something bad is going to happen, that happening, that event will happen no matter what. The only thing a tzaddik, a person, can do through koyach of teshuva usilu tztaka is to get out of the way. But the thing is, but the event, the gzera will come true. And the only way that the satan, that's what it says here in these words, that the midas hadin will be satisfied is if it comes true upon someone else. Another individual, another person. Now that's why we say Ushuva Usfilu Tztaka Ma'avirin. What does it mean Ma'avirin? Ma'avirin means we cause it to pass. We cause it to be transferred. Ma'avirin is Roya HaGezer. Instead of the Roya HaGezer coming down upon us, it will come down upon someone else. So immediately you will ask, it's not fair. Why should someone who until this point in time was not meant to be punished now because we have done tshuva, so they're going to take our place? No, it's like kaparis, every Yom Kippur, we take the chicken. That instead of the gzeris hadin coming upon us, the midas hadin of Misa should come upon the chicken. What did the poor chicken do to deserve to die If not for our sins, the chicken would not have died. Would not be slaughtered. It's only because we are guilty. We deserve to die. So we, instead of the gezer coming upon us, we're going to transfer the gezer upon the poor chicken. The chicken has to die. That's a very good question. Why should the chicken die? Because of what we have done. I don't know the answer. But it's not such a difficult question because we're not dealing with people. We're dealing with chickens. So a chicken, you want to say this was a chicken's tafkid. But this idea is expressed by the Mefarshim not just for chickens, it's expressed for people. That if Rahman al-Islam was meant to be, there's going to be some drought or some famine or starvation upon Jewish people, upon Klal Yisrael, and then Klal Yisrael does tshuva, so it will be transferred to a third world country you never heard of, and those people are going to suffer. Now that's a very bizarre thing to say. Ma'avinas ragzer, dealing with human beings. What did they do to suffer? What did they do to deserve this punishment? Why just because we did tshuva should the punishment be transferred from us into them? There is no answer, and everything we have to have a moon of shuta that everything is done with diktuk hadin, that no person, no human being in this world is punished for something that he does not deserve. Everything is done for a reason, and it just could very well be that it was not the time, it was not meant to happen at this particular moment to another individual on the other end of the world at this moment in time, but because we have done tshuva, so things have shifted. But it does not mean that someone's going to suffer for no reason. Everything that a person, every time a person suffers, there is a reason, there is a cause, and that's the emunah we have in this chazal. Yeah.
First of all, the part of the chicken is not any more mysterious than the seer la'azazel.
Okay, Echanami, right. So these things, but in dealing with human beings, this principle is applied to human beings. Ma'avir nesroi ha-gezerah, instead of the gezerah din coming upon us, will come upon someone else, another human being. But what did he do? The answer is, Hashem doesn't punish a person for no reason. If the person will ultimately be punished at this point in time, there's a reason. It's done with a cheshvan, which is beyond our understanding. But that's what it says. If the yovay adam acher tachtav, someone comes in their place. Look at Rashi.
Yeah,
yeah. What in the arcade on the aisle? The hinei aisle achar in Echanami. So the aisle had to take the place.
That moment,
there is this energy that has to be released. The energy has to be released somewhere. Avram was unable to release this energy upon Yitzchak, so it had to be released upon the aisle. Hashem had to provide an aisle. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu issues a gzera of punishment upon Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael, they are mispalel, tshuva usilu tztaka, excellent, they get out of the way. But that energy that has been generated due to the sins of Klal Yisrael must be expressed, must be released upon something, someone, somewhere. And Yom HaKippurim, it's released upon the Sol HaZazel. But even in a greater picture of things, the pasuk here says, Tzadik mitzor nechlatz v'yavo rosho tachtov. The evil person who at this point in time was not meant to be punished at this moment, now will get what he deserves, because the gzer, the built up energy of the gzer that was meant for the tzadik will now be transferred to him.
Well,
yeah.
The Minas Hadin is an independent entity acting, well, if I can't.
Yeah, it's true.
Very good.
Okay, let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, "B'mos Rashi tzadik mitzor nechlatz b'mos Rasha." When the Rasha dies, in the mikra or elyoin zem l'chubar, this pasuk is connected to the previous pasuk. According to Rashi, pasuk ches and pasuk zayin are connected. B'mos adam Rasha toivad tikva. When the adam Rasha dies, the tikva, the hope, the people that rely upon him, they are lost. And at that point in time, the tzaddik mitzor nechlatz. When the midas hadin has been sent down to destroy the rasha, we know there can be collateral damage. We know there's such a concept that when the satan is given permission to destroy, he's not mavchin bein tzaddik l'rasha. So at times, the tzaddik can be swept up in the gzardin of the rasha, but in this instance it says that tzaddik, most rasha, the tzaddik is released. Mikra ha'elyon zemuchu, but this goes back and connects to the previous pasuk. Okay, now there's a fascinating medrash I want to share with you. It's a little bit elaborate, but let me just, let's try to go through it quickly. Okay, the Gemara says, yeah.
Malvin, when you read the Malvin, plus it makes a little bit more sense. Even the light with the two stuff it says. the Malbim says he prefaces the pasuk by saying as follows: Imar Rosh Hanichem Ra Alek Sadek Asoy Shed Sadek Blah Blah Blah. So it's not just an independent entity according to the Malbim's introduction. It's the Rosh is thinking bad on a tzaddik, and you know what? In the end will be the Rosh will get the punishment that he thought to give on a tzaddik. And he gives an example of Haman and Mordechai.
Right, we mentioned that yesterday that Haman, the gallows, the eights, Gvoya Chamish Mam, that Haman planned for Mordechai, Haman and his family were.
The consciousness of Malbim introduces a preface to the event that's taking place to the Rosh. It's not just, oh, Hashem is saying, oh, I got to take away from the tzaddik. I got to give it to somebody else. The Malbim says, no, in this instance, the Rasha is thinking evil against the tzaddik.
Okay.
And then I'm going to decide not to give it to the tzaddik. I'm going to give it to the Rasha.
Right, right. The plans of the Rasha come upon himself.
But that's not what the Mitzvah Stavit says.
And the Hanami, the Malbim and the Mitzvah Stavit are not, they're not tied to each other. They're independent thinkers.
No, but according to the Malbim, there is a connection. It's me to connect me to. You thought evil, Rashi, you thought evil on the tzaddik.
The plan that you'll get what you plan for someone else. And that's one pshat. That's a completely different interpretation of the pasuk than this mitzvah stavid. The interpretation of the mitzvah stavid is not. They have different approaches to the pasuk. Ayin panim latara. There are many different ways to interpret the pasuk. The mitzvah stavid has his approach, and the malam has his approach. And they're not contradictory. They're just different malachim, different malachim in the pasuk.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you take the two stuff, it's kind of a shocker.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it's.
What did this person do to deserve this?
This Russia. Okay, he's probably a new person. I'm taking this guy's gizagin, I'm putting on this guy.
Exactly right. It's a shock. It's right.
Well, we read the Malbim.
Ain't no chlam, but the Malbim is saying is the Malbim is avoiding the shock because the Malbim is not learning the pasuk like the Mitzvah Stavit. Ain't no chlam. They're different mahalchim in understanding the pasuk. The Mitzvah Stavit is saying something extreme. At this point in time, the plan was the Rasha would get away with it. Ultimately, the Rasha will get what he deserves. But at this point in time, it's smooth sailing. Now, on the other end of the world, there's a tzaddik, and the tzaddik's in a lot of trouble. And he senses the trouble. And he does tshuva. L'shuva, sulut tztaka. So Hashem says, very good, I'm meichel you, the tzaddik. But you know, it's already, the missile has been launched. Right? The missile has been launched. I can't take back, I can't abort. The abort button doesn't work. So what am I going to do? Oh, so you know what? I can redirect it. I can redirect the coordinates to someone else. So who else? Who are the candidates? Well, since on the other end of the world there's a Russia, and this Russia deserves this punishment, so let that missile that was meant for the tzaddik, let it be redirected to the Russia. But the Russia says, it's not fair. I was smooth sailing at least for the next 5 years. So why should I have to suffer now? That is something which is very...
Malbim,
you don't have that problem.
The missile will fall harmless into the city.
Exactly. Exact. Correct. Well, he's not... Exact. Yeah. Well, at least not from this pasuk. He would not know what happens to the missile according to the Malbim. Correct. Right. Or there would be an abort button. According to the Malbim, there would be an abort button. When we are brought up with this idea as from children, we are brought up with the idea of an abort button. There's a missile launched against the tzaddik, because the tzaddik is guilty for sin. The tzaddik does tshuva. So how do you teach a child? Hashem presses abort, the missile explodes in outer space, and the tzaddik is not harmed, the tzaddik doesn't even know there was a missile. Shalom al Yisrael. Right? Isn't that the way we were brought up?
Yes.
You get a little bit older, and you learn something like this, in the Mitzvah Stavit, you learn a parish in Rosh Hashanah, Ushuvu Silu Tztaka Ma'avir Nesrei Agzera. Remember, the first time I saw this was on that pasuk, Ma'avir Nesrei Agzera. I read one of the commentators, what does it mean, Ma'avirin? It should say Mevatlin, or Koirin Gzar HaGzera. If you were writing the Nusach HaTil, wouldn't you write, Ushuvu Silu Tztaka Koirin Es Gzar HaGzera. Es HaGzera. Rips up, destroys, obliterates. No, Ma'avir. Very delicate word. It just causes the gzera to pass, to be transferred. So where's the gzera going? It's going to someone else. Someone else? Terrible. I'm responsible. So there's something very deep, very profound. That means when a person does an aveira, even when he does tshuva, there's still collateral damage. We have this principle that with tshuva, me'ava, it turns your averis into zechuyos. Tshuva Meira, it turns it into Shkagos. But put all that aside, according to this interpretation, how do you feel now that I have done Tshuva, but due to my, but being that I still did it in Avera, I've caused the Kadosh Baruch Hu to launch a barrage of missiles against myself, and they now have to be diverted and have to fall upon someone else. Now, they deserve what they got. Good, they deserve what they got. But I don't want to be the one that presses the button. How many people are willing to serve people that are guilty of capital punishment? How many people are willing to administer the drugs that are going to kill these criminals? Not too many, right? In China, they have a very hard time. In China, they kill people every day. And they have a very hard time finding people to pull the trigger. Even though they're guilty. Yeah, that's what I read, at least. Even though they're guilty. These people have committed the worst horrible crimes. They're murderers. Yet, look, that's right, let them die, but not by me. I don't want to be the one to pull the trigger. So how do we feel that when we do tshuva, we have been spared, but someone else must come in our place and suffer? And they deserve it. Let's not make any mistake about it. But we're still responsible. It's a very, very, very powerful idea. That means that when you do an avera, don't think, okay, listen, I'll do an avera today, tomorrow I'll do tshuva. Even the Chazal says, you do an avera, I will not do tshuva, because the Shrachu doesn't forgive you. Let's put that aside, because we all ignore that anyway. I'll do an avera, I'll come around Yom Kippur, and I'll do tshuva, come Yom Kippur. But so what? If you do an avera, you have launched missiles, and those missiles have to land somewhere. And you're going to be responsible for someone else suffering in this world. This is a very bizarre Kabbalistic idea, which I think most people have a very difficult time grasping. But it says it beferish here in the Mitzudos. It says it beferish in the Pshat, perish on the expression of Avinu Shrei Agzera. And I don't know how to deal with it. Yeah.
But we're not responsible for the process. We're not responsible for the idea that the Xera that's supposed to go here, Ma'avir in Israel.
But if we would have not done Ma'avir to begin with, then we would not have been involved whatsoever. And now we have a clear conscience.
So then maybe we should all be taught when we're kids.
Yeah.
Don't do an Ma'avir because...
This is too complicated for the average child. For a child to hear such first, who says everyone agrees with this concept? As the rapport pointed out, the Malbim doesn't say this. Maybe the Malbim doesn't believe in this whole idea. This is something which is very hard to deal with, very hard to grasp. Maybe the Malbim holds that this whole hashkafa is false. Could very well be. There are major machlekes, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ravid, about very, very, various, very deep matters of hashkafa. Who says this hashkafa is a true hashkafa? The Mitzuda says it is. He reads this into the pasuk. The Malbim doesn't say this. The Malbim maybe doesn't hold of this idea. So how do you, and also every person is different. Some people can't relate to this. Some people can't relate to this. Some people it works for. Some people doesn't work for. You can't generalize. So I am panim mutara. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Same term. And it means someone who refrains from.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they retaliate. When someone is offended and he chooses not to retaliate, that's Mavir al Midos.
Overlooks.
It doesn't mean that he takes his anger out on somebody else, but he lets it. He lets it pass.
Into the ocean.
The missile lands in the ocean, yes. Harmless. Yes. My view, it just bypasses him and doesn't cause anyone else harm. That's another interpretation. Ayin panim l'tara. So let's go to a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says, Omar Rabbi Yoichanan, Shaloi Shmeos Meshalois Shu'olim Hoyulo L'Rabbi Meir. The holy Rabbi Meir. This is not Mishnah's Rabbi Meir. Every time it says the Mishnah, the Chachamim really refers to one person, Rabbi Meir. And then, not every time, but many times, Rabbi Meir. He had a book, and in this book he had his own Sefer Mishlei. This is a very important thing for Sefer Mishlei, talking about Mishalim. And in this book there were 300 Mishalim that related to foxes and wolves. It seems that the fox and the wolf don't get along very well. Okay, I was always brought up that cats and dogs don't get along very well. Tom and Jerry, but I'm not familiar with this idea of foxes and wolves. The fox and wolves was Tom and Jerry of the time of Chazal. They were figured prominently in the cartoons in Chazal's time. The fox and the wolf. there were 300 mishalim, 300 books, 300 parts. What?
Parables.
Shalosh meos mishalos shu'olim hoyu lo l'rimeir v'anu. However, us ein lanu ela shalosh. All we have left from this time is three. What are the three? And the Gemara does not even tell us what the three are. Just tells us the psukim to which these three mishalim were connected. Avos achlu voser v'shinei vanim tikhena. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. The father has eaten unripened grapes, which are poisonous, which are acidic, which can cause harm to one's teeth. But guess what? The father's teeth is fine. The father died. He left his will without needing a root canal. He survived A-OK. However, the child suffered for the father's sins. The father ate these unripened grapes, he ate this candy, and the children, they are the ones who have cavities. Uvishine vanim tekena, the teeth of the children are weak. Okay, they're weak. Second mashal. That's a pasuk in Yechezkel. Second mashal. This is Sanhedrin, a Gemara, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. The second mashal. Mosnei Tzedek Avnei Tzedek. Okay, this is the pasuk in the Torah, in Chumash Vayikra. Mosnei Tzedek Avnei Tzedek. The person should have scales of righteousness and stones of righteousness. This really is something we touched upon yesterday. What mashal? Kiseitzah here calls from Vayikra, you test. Maybe another pasuk. It's another pasuk. And this really touched upon what we learned yesterday. Yesterday, in the pasuk, we discussed the first pasuk on Perik Yud Aleph is Mosnei Nirma Tehavas Hashem V'yevin Shlema Ritzaynai. And the third mashal is Tzadik, this exact pasuk. Pasuk that we just quoted right now, Tzadik Mitzara Nechlatz V'yavo Rosha Tachtav. The Tzadik is spared from the tzara. Nechlatz means he is released. Now, by the way, one thing I left out, and then the word nechlatz is a very specific word, a precise word. Nechlatz means you were trapped. Nechlat? Exactly. So what is chalitza? What does it mean to chalitza? Chalitza means to loosen the straps. Literally, chalitza, you have a shoe. The shoe is tightly connected to the foot, and you undo the straps. You loosen the straps. It's released. The word nechlatz means that the tzara was taking hold of the person. It doesn't mean that he was clearly avoided. At times, a tzaddik does not even know that he was in trouble, that there was a missile aimed at his position. He was not aware. And then at the very last moment, the missile was diverted. Here it says that the tzaddik was nechlat, which means that he was locked in. He was trapped. He was consumed by this tzara. He felt the tzara. He felt the pain. He dealt. And then suddenly, nechlatz. He was released. A door opened. He was able to walk out. What enveloped him dissipated, disappeared. He was released. It's a very powerful word in which he was involved. And now, v'yavoi rasha tachtav, the rasha comes in his place. So there is the question. This is what the Gemara says. Gemara says, Sanhedrin, what exactly are these mishalim referring to? So the Marsha tells us exactly what these mishalim refer to. So here it goes. The first mashal is, now the problem with this marsha is, he only gives us two of the three. Okay, prate, I'm sorry, not the marsha, Rashi. You have to go through the steps. Rashi on this gemara, the Masechta Sanhedrin, on the Lamed Ches, leading into Lamed Ches, tells us what exactly these three mishalim are. Mashal number one. Now, mashal number one appears not to be related, but we'll just mention it quickly. Is that there was a fox, and the fox said to the wolf, "Wolf, I know you're very hungry." Now, the wolf is a ferocious animal. A fox is a sly devil. It doesn't have any great physical power, but it's a chacham. It's a chacham, the fox. The fox says, and the fox does not like the wolf. They don't get along very well. And the fox says to the wolf, "Wolf, I know you're very hungry. Why don't you come for a suda shabbos? You want good food. What you should do is, you get dressed up in your Sunday best and come to a suda shabbos, and there there'll be cholent, and there'll be kishka, pcha. You'll have all the good things that this world has to offer." Maisa b'shul shama lezev hikonis lechatzer hayehudim erev Shabbos. So what are you sitting around here hanging out in the forest with the goyim, with all the trappers? Go to the Jews, go to a Shabbos meal, then you really see what good food is all about. V'tikin imam tzorchei suda, and you should help them, prepare with them the tzorchei suda, v'toichal imam b'Shabbos, and you'll eat with them on Shabbos. In other words, go there and help out in the kitchen, and they'll let you eat. Kishabol likonis chaveroi, kishabol likonis, chaveroi la b'maklois, when he came there, and mayor, maybe you can do something there with the machine. It's making a lot of noise. When he came there, what happened? When he arrived, all of the foxes, all of the people, they saw the fox, the wolf, they came out with their weapons. They came out with their guns to chase away the wolf, and the wolf escaped by the skin of his teeth. He barely survived this ordeal. So obviously, the wolf was not very happy with the advice of the fox. The advice of the fox almost cost the wolf its life. So the wolf came back now to take revenge, to kill the fox. Bo laharoig es hashual. Omar. So he said to him, Lo hilkucha ella b'shvil avicha. So this is the mashal. He said to him, No. Don't blame me. The reason why they wanted to kill you is because zechus avos. It's not because you're a bad person, but they remember your father. The Jewish people, they remember that last year your father went and attacked their home and destroyed their property, ate up all their food. So now they're taking revenge against you. If not for the sins of your father, you would have been able to participate to eat from the meal of the Jewish people. You would have had a good time. So basically, they quoted this passage, Shapamachas. So it happened one time, Hayim Messiah Besuda. It happened that once that your father was helping the Jewish people prepare for their Shabbos Suda, the Achol Kol Chaticho Yofeh, and the fox and the wolf ate up all the good food. So that's why he was removed from the premises, and now when they see you, his son, they think that you're going to try to do the same thing, so they're punishing the son for the sins of the father. So the wolf said, why should I suffer for the sins of my father? That's the way the world works. Avos, he quoted this pasuk, that's the first pasuk of this dream shalom. Avos achlu voser, the father has eaten voser, unripened grapes. Vishine vanim tekena, and the teeth of the children are weakened. In a chanami, there is such a concept that the children have to suffer the sins of the father. Okay, that is the first mashal. Now, why is that mashal important? For the next part, I do not know. It could very well be is that, and it's all part of the sequence, is that this idea, this developed a relationship between the fox and the wolf. Okay, I'm not really sure why we need this, but now we go to the next one that we do need. Here comes the next part. Now, this is fascinating. If you really want to eat good food, come. I'll show you where to eat good food. He takes the wolf, the fox takes the wolf to the well. And what happens? And they come to the well, and there is a pulley. There are two parts. There are two. It's like a scale. There are two parts to this rope, and the rope is suspended right on top of a well. The fox jumps into the one side of the scale, and immediately it sinks all the way down to the bottom. Immediately, the pail, there are two pails attached by a rope. The fox jumps into one pail, and due to his weight, he goes all the way deep down into the well. Okay? So he's all the way deep down into the well. He then says to the wolf, you should come down here with me to have some delicious food. Here, deep down in the well, there is meat, and there is chalent, and all the delicacies of this world can be found down in the bottom of the well. So the wolf says, really? The wolf looks, the wolf is full. So the wolf then jumps in. How do I get down into the bottom of the well? Jump into the other pail. So the wolf jumps into the other pail. The wolf weighs a lot more than a fox. So what happens? Laws of physics. The wolf falls all the way down to the bottom of the pit, and the fox goes all the way up. The fox gets out, and the fox says to the wolf, see you, buddy. Have a good life. I'll never have to deal with you. He was able to knock him off, to get rid of him like this. So this is what the Medrash... Now, that's the end of the Medrash. This is what Rashi says, and that's what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, what we've just learned right now, Tzadik mitzara nechlotz. the tzaddik. Now, at this moment in time, we have to understand that the fox is in great danger, because before the wolf jumps into the other pail, the fox is now in a makom of sakana. The fox has gone into pail number one and has sunk all the way down to the bottom of the well. So the tzaddik, we're calling here the wolf. The wolf is a mashal. The fox is a mashal for the tzaddik. The tzaddik is in a matzav of sakana, because he's now in the bottom of the well. He has no way of getting up. The tzaddik mitzar nechlas, and now suddenly the fox, who is the tzaddik, is saved, released from the tzara. How? How is he saved? Because the avoy rasha tachtav. The rasha, the wolf, has taken his place, has entered into the other pail. His weight has displaced the weight of the shul. That's the mashal. This was one of the three mishalim we have left from the 300 mishalim of Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said Aramea. Now, what is the Avi? That's how Rashi ends his parish on this section of Gemara. The Marsha is the obvious kasha. He only gave us two mishalim. The Gemara quotes three psukim. The first pasuk of the boiser and the teeth. The boiser of the father ate the boiser and the children's teeth have been weakened. The second mashal of the scales of tzedek. And the third mashal of the pasuk we just quoted, the tzaddik mitzar nechlatz u'bo'v'yavoy rosh tachtav. What happened to the third mashal? The third mashal is missing. So the mashal says something amazing. The mashal says that the fox has no shaita. The fox realized that if it's going to risk its life, it's going to go into the pail, and it's going to sink to the bottom of the well, maybe the wolf will figure out what's going on, and will say, I'm not a fool. I know there's no food down there. I know that if I'm going into this pail, my weight is greater than yours. I'm going to sink to the bottom. You're going to come up. So you know what? I'm not going to go fall for this trap. Goodbye. Good luck. You're already in the pit. You're stuck there. I'm not going to help you. You're in the ground. I'm finished with you. So the fox realizes that his plan may fail. He has to have a back door. He has to have a backup plan. So what is the backup plan? The fox, before he goes into the pail, he takes with him a stone. Let's say a stone that weighs, give numbers, that weighs 100 pounds. And he also takes with him, on the other pail, there's also a stone that's also 100 pounds. So before we do anything, we have two pails, and in each pail, there is a stone that weighs 100 pounds. So they're balanced. At this moment in time, they're balanced. The fox weighs 10 pounds. The fox now goes in onto one pail. So now we have 110 pounds. Can I get 100 pounds? Two pails, stone, 100, 100, fox enters, 110, so the fox sinks all the way now down to the bottom. He says to the wolf, wolf, come, the wolf weighs 200 pounds. If the wolf will come into the other scale, the other pail, so then it will be 300 against 110. So then he'll be able to jump up, he'll go all the way up. But he's afraid that maybe the wolf's not going to go into the pail. It's not going to the pail. Then he's stuck. He's like, I'm not stuck. All I got to do is take the stone in the pail and throw it into the water. I take the stone out of the pail. I throw it into the water. What? The other pail's all the way up. The other pail's all the way on top. It's not available. I get rid of the stone. So I've reduced the weight in my pail from 110 pounds to 10 pounds myself. And the other pail has a stone of 100 pounds. Bang! The other pail jumps all the way down to the bottom. And the fox comes up. The fox is safe. So the fox is a clever dude. The fox has a backup plan. He went into the pail with a stone that weighs 100 pounds, and in the other pail there's another stone that weighs 100 pounds.
What if the wolf takes out the 100 pounds?
The wolf is not a chacham. The wolf doesn't know this. The wolf, that's a flaw. You're right. That's a flaw. But we're assuming, we want to assume the case where there's no, he doesn't know about it. He doesn't know about it. So he has a backup plan. He has a backup. So man of shach, he's saved. So that is, so the Marshal explains, that's really the second part of the mashal. That's the second. What was the second part? We have three psukim. The first pasuk of the mashal. The first pasuk of the mashal is avos achlu voiser v'shine banim tikena. The second part, the second mashal was moizne tzedek avne tzedek. The second part of the mashal, the second of the 300 mashal that's left, is Mosnei Tzedek, a scale of righteousness, Avnei Tzedek. The Shul knows in order for him to pull off his plan, he has to have Mosnei Tzedek and Avnei Tzedek. Because if the Shul, if the fox is corrupt, if the fox and his business practices is corrupt, and he has two sets of stones, it could very well be that he will outsmart himself. In other words, let's say his own stones are corrupt, and we have two stones. Each stone is supposed to weigh 100 pounds. But when the customer comes in, you don't put a stone that weighs 100 pounds, even though it says 100 pounds, it weighs 300 pounds, because you want to charge him, cheat him, you want to rob from him. So the fox is an honest in his business dealings. And because the fox is honest in his business dealings, that's why he's able to save himself. That's part of the mashal. Because if the fox would have been corrupt in his own business dealings, all of his stones are inaccurate. And it can very well be that when he puts two stones into the two sides of the scale, and he thinks each stone weighs 100 and another 100, and now when he goes down into the bar with his added weight, and he's going to release one stone, and now he'll be balanced, his calculations may be off, because the stones don't really weigh as much as it says on the stone. And then it could very well be that he'll be stuck in the pit forever. So the fox, this is all part of the mashal. The only reason why the fox is able to capture the rasha is because the fox himself is honest. The fox itself has Mosnei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek. Now that he has, now he'll be able to prosecute. He'll be able to trap the rasha, the evil wolf, by telling the wolf, "You come into the other pail." And if that plan fails, so there's an escape route, there's a backdoor plan for the fox to survive. So this is how the mashal explains the Gemara. We have three mashalim. I guess the reason why we need the first mashal is we need the first mashal to develop a relationship with the fox, the wolf, the ze'ev, so that the ze'ev would be willing to come to the pit to get food. Because if there was no relationship, you would just tell the wolf, "Wolf, come into the pit, there's food down here." You're not going to believe him. There's no food down there. Don't you remember last time I told you where to go? I told you to go to the home of the Jewish people Friday night. There's good food. You saw with your own eyes there's good food. So you know that what I tell you is true. Just like last time I showed you there was food, when I tell you now there's food in the bottom of the pit, trust me. We need the first part of the mashal in order for the fox to prove that he has what to offer. Otherwise, just telling the wolf to come and jump into the pit, he's not going to listen. He's not going to believe. Who says there's food? You have no track record to show me that there's food where you claim food to be. Oh, you have been proven correct. You have claimed there's food in the homes of the Jews. There is. I saw my own eyes. I was unable to attain that food because they threw me out. But now when you tell me there's food out here, I'm going to believe you. And this all the fox needs to capture the wolf. He believes him. He jumps in. He falls down to the bottom. And now the fox walks away and we have captured the evil wolf. And all of this is done in a way where the fox has, at every moment in time, has had for himself protection, that tzaddik is protected because he always has backup plan, only because he himself is honest in business matters. Mosnei Tzedek v'Avnei Tzedek. Okay, so that's it's a lot of interaction, a lot of moving parts. This chazal, there are three different psukim, two mashalim, Rashi, Amar Shah. There's a very big message of all the different dealing with the tzaddik, rasha. You have to capture the rasha. You have to be extremely clever now you capture the rasha. You have to develop a relationship, and then you go in for the kill. And when you go in for the kill, always make sure you protect yourself. Don't go out on any suicide missions. That's all. Many messages here in this in strategy. Teach us in West Point. They should go use this mashal in West Point as a mashal, a parable for dealing with the enemy. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, tzaddik. It's a nechlatz v'yavay rasha tachtav. Next pasuk test bepeh chonef yashchis re'eyu. Okay, with the peh chonef yashchis re'eyu u'bedas sadikim yecholetzu. Okay, what does it say in the mitzvah? This is the mitzvah pasuk test bepeh chonef bedivri chanif yashchis re'eyu hamach neflo ki yilkod with words of chanif of flattery. with words of Hanifa, Yashchis Esrei Ehu, does a person destroy his friend? Hamachin the flow, ki yil kedenu limoshech achar daite. The way you trap a person is with flattery. Everyone loves compliments. Yeah, you never hit someone for a good compliment. You never saw someone smack you for a compliment. So that when you want to destroy a person, the way you bring them in is with a peh chonef. It is a technique. A peh chonef yashreyu v'dat sadikim bavur das atar yotzi milibam diri hachonef. However, with that sadikim yicholetzu, but a person who is a tzaddik, a person that has the knowledge of Torah, is able to see through the plan of the Rasha. Again, the words of the Mitzvot v'avur das haTorah yotziu milibam diri hachaynef. You'll be able to remove from their heart the words of the flattery. Ve'enam nimshachim acharav. So let's look at the pasuk. We have a victim. The victim, an innocent bystander. Someone approaches him and gives him compliments and says beautiful things in order to draw him near, in order that this innocent person should come with him. I'll give you some candy. Come with me to my home. And what is he going to do in the home? He's going to do something terrible. He's going to do an avera in this person's home. So this innocent person would be naturally inclined to follow the person that is speaking nicely to him, that's being mechanef him. However, this innocent bystander was trained in the ways of Torah, he'll be able to see through these words of flattery and won't follow after this evil person who is pulling him near. So that the Rasha attempts to destroy his friend with sweet talk, and most of the time it works. However, if the victim is a tzaddik, and the tzaddik has studied Torah, that Torah knowledge will give him the siyata d'shmaya to see through the plan. Uvidas tzaddikim, the knowledge of the tzaddik of the Torah, yecholetzu, will give him the ability to escape this trap that has been set for him by the chonef, by this rasha. This is the pshat of the mitzvah. This Rashi says, "Prepare chonef, chonef hanesis chaveray b'derech ra, mashchisay b'piv." He destroys him with his mouth. Now, it's not muchuch that Rashi is learning the same interpretation of the pasuk as the mitzvahs. It says he's mashchis b'piv. The word chonef just means a mesis, a person who tries to he destroys them b'piv. Okay, so maybe it is the same parish that he uses the koyach hadibur to entice the person to do an avera. However, uvedas sadikim yicholetzu v'yat sadik nechlas menu b'das haTorah sheshiro lov lo sove lo. Is exactly what the Mitzvah says. However, the tzaddik is aware, he's been prepared for this, he knows what the Rosh is trying to do with his sweet talk, and he says, Lo sova, I do not consent, I do not want, I do not agree to go with you. All the money in the world, all of the delicacies, all of your enticements are not going to convince me to come with you. Pasik, okay, let's go to Pasik Yud. B'tuf tzadikim talo tzkirya. With b'tuf, with goodness of the tzadikim talo tzkirya, a city is happy. Talo tz, according to the Muslim, means happy. Uvavoid rishaim rina. And with the destruction of the wicked, there is joy. We all know this expression. We always uvivud. Is that how we say it? Uvivud rishaim rina. Here it's uva avoid. With the destruction of the wicked, there is joy, there is song. Song is even a greater level than, it's a very interesting pasuk, talayt just means joy, simcha. Rina is when the simcha bursts forth into song. It's a higher degree of joy. A person can be happy. You can walk around happy, keep your happy thoughts to yourself. But when a person is so happy, you break forth in song. The eradication of evil is such a great simcha that we break forth in joy. Why? Why is it greater? It's a novelty. Because the Rasham, the way the world is, the Rasham always succeeds. We know that as a fact. The Rasham always, how often you hear that Rasham, a Russia, was caught and was destroyed. One in a million. You don't hear. So therefore, it's a novelty. This is this is something that you break forth in joy. A tzaddik, the fact that they're a tzaddikim and in their merit good things happen, that's a common occurrence. There are many tzaddikim and their merit, we are happy. They provide for us baracha and therefore we're happy. But to see something unusual, we break forth in song. In Pasuk in the Mitzvah Stavit, Talitz Kirya, Ki Mashpim Lizulasa Mehatoiv Asher Cholak Hashem Lohem. They bestow from the goodness that Hashem has given them. Rina, Ki Ba'oidam Bechayim Hereil the Brios, when they are alive, they cause harm to the Brios. Rashi, okay, there is no Rashi. Now this just reminds me of a story I actually saw this week. I told you the story probably at least once before. I just was reviewing for the parasha. I came across the story again. It was a maisa of a chassid who did a very big favor for his rebbe. I don't know the name of the chassid. I don't know the name of the rebbe. So this is a story. What? Something about a sukkah. The rebbe didn't have a sukkah, and this chassid was able. He was moisa nefesh to provide for the rebbe a sukkah on sukkah. So whatever the story was. So the Rebbe said to the chassid, that you've done me such a tremendous tayyiv, such a great chesed. I want to reward you. I want to give you a choice. I don't know exactly what kind of person you are, but you have a choice. One or the other. Either you'll have the reward of imi b'mechitzasi. That's a Kabbalistic term which means that in the next world you'll be with me. Or I go, you go. I'm going to a holy place. Okay, the Rebbe, I guess, assumed that he was going to somewhere very special. You come with me. I'll take you in. Protexia. You'll be with me. But in this world, olam kiminhag, you're going to be a pauper. Everything's going to be the same. But if you want, in the next world, it's going to be whatever will be. Whatever was meant to be for you will be for you. Whatever was meant to be for me, you're not coming with me. But I'll give you, in this world, I will intercede. I'll bring about enormous wealth for you in this world. Oishar, great wealth in this world. Think about it. What do you want? Which one do you want? Meir, what would you take? I'll put you on the spot. Imi v'michitzasi, or do you want the money? The money in this world. So the chazak comes back and he says to him, I want the money. Cash only. I want the money. I want the money. So the rabbi said to him, why? Okay, fine. But why? Why do you want the money? So he said, it's pashat. If I have the bracha, imi b'michitzasi, who's nene? Me. Will be the rabbi, and I will be nene in olam haba, imi b'michitzasi. I'm going to be zechet to all of the spiritual blessing in the next world, and no one else. But if you'll give me in this world money, the chazan said, rabbi, you think I need the money? I don't need the money. I'm already an adult, I have what I have, but I'll be able to be mehanes so many people. I'll be able to give tzedakah, chesed, hachnasas orchim, reifei cholim. I can retire, I can devote myself to doing good things for other people and take the money that you give me to do chesed. The whole world's going to be nene. It's a selfish thing. It was unexpected that I did you a chesed. I didn't expect to get any reward. You're giving me reward. It would be selfish for me to take the reward just for myself. Let me take the reward and give it out. And give it out to everyone. You'll give me, Oishar? I'll give to everyone all the money. So that's what the chassid said to the rabbi. So really that idea is what it says here in it says Rashi. Bituv tzadikim. Again, look at the words of the Mitzvah, Bitaloitz Kirya. A city is in joy. The whole city is besimcha because of its tzadik. What's the city? Ki mashpim lizulasam. The nature of its tzadik is, it's not for me. This bracha, in my merit, bracha comes down to this world. Let everyone be nene from the bracha. That's the nature of a true tzaddik. Noach ish tzaddik. Why was he a tzaddik? He fed the animals for a whole year. He took nothing for himself. He's busy with other people. Yosef a tzaddik. Yosef hu amaspir. He's the one that provided food for all the people in the country, the world. Ki mashpim lizulosa me'atoiv ashecholak Hashem lohem. Rina ki ba'oidam b'chaim. But the Rishon, they are tzar when they are gone. Their God is a source of joy. Okay, pasuk yud aleph, bebirchas yesharim torim keres. So this idea is repeated again in this pasuk again through the blessing of the yesharim torim Kores. Kores is another word for this. The same exact thing. The ear, the kiryah in the previous pasuk is paralleled with the word kores in this pasuk, and the bracha of the previous pasuk of it was parallel here. The tuv is here paralleled with the word the birchas, and the tzaddik of the previous pasuk here is parallel to the word the yashar. A yashar is another word for a tzaddik. Term kores uvifi rishaim tehares, and through the word, the mouth of a rasha, a city is destroyed. Rishaim, the decisions that they make cause churban to the world. And the things that they say, the harm they cause with their mouth, causes great destruction. When the bracha comes to the yesharim, and they are in a position of power, and they are guarding the people, then the entire city is elevated through their decisions. When you have people in positions of leadership who are tzaddikim, then you can be sure that the city, everyone in the city will benefit. But when you have, next, but when the bracha is to fools, when people who are in positions of leadership, when the politicians and the leaders are shaitim, are fools, then the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu channels to this world is lost. In fact, it is destroyed. And it's through them that all the matters of the city are going to be decided. Watch out. Better get out of their way. The entire city will be destroyed due to their decisions. It's very important to elect people who are in people in leadership who are upright people, yesharim tzaddikim. This is a very big debate. They had this a couple of years ago in New Jersey about different politicians. Some politicians, their policies appear to be very harmful for the Orthodox Jewish community. But on the other hand, these are good people. They're upright people. They are people of dignity. On the other hand, you have a politician who's a mushkas. His personal life, he's a terrible person. He does things in his personal life that are disgusting, that are not acceptable. But yet, he's promising the Orthodox community he'll give them, he'll solve all their problems. So the question is, who do you vote for? Who should the Rabbanim, Admarim, who should they endorse? The people who are in their personal life known to be upright people, but their policies do not appear to be to our benefit, or people who are just the opposite. And this is a very, very tough dilemma. And actually, I remember when this issue, there was a very big divide among the top Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshiva, exactly what is the proper thing to do. Okay, and everything, of course, is in our business. But over here, I mean, you see something very important here in this, you take this pasuk, there definitely is a message which leads to say is, the first thing you have to worry about is the person, is he an upright person? Character. And if the character is good, then even though the policies, you can work with it, the policies are not necessarily to our benefit, alright, we'll work, we'll what?
Yes.
The path have not yet, well, what do you mean not yet? These are his promises.
Which means the person has character, you can work with that person.
You can work with that person.
And bring him around.
I mean, that's not so simple. If he's telling you what he's going to do, this is his platform, he's going to do A, B, and C, it's not so simple, he's going to reverse his but there is...
that choice, certainly around.
Okay, but every once in a while, I mean, elections come around every other day, there are new elections, and it's a very, this is a dilemma which it's not always, a couple of years ago it was very pronounced, this divide, where you actually had people that people what was it with, Corzine, and who was running against him? There was someone else. Okay, I don't remember the details, but every once in a while you actually have this situation where you have an upright person with bad policies versus a corrupt person with good policies. What should a Torah Jew do? Who should he endorse? Oh, so everything is subject to interpretation. What's called good policies? What's called an upright person? Are the standards for a guy the same standards for a Jew? How far do we go and superimpose our hashkafa upon a guy? These are all major, major issues. But here you do see in the pasuk at least a template. And the template is, look for character. Isn't that what it says here? At least according... not everyone agrees. I mean, that not everyone is so agrees with this idea. But when you look at this pasuk is making a pitch that you should look for good character. That's what it says. When the yashar is in a position of leadership, the yanhigu es b'nei hu'ir behadrocha yishara, Oz terem al yidei zeh ubepi av kasher habrach hi befi ksilim. You are a fool. A shaita is a shaita. Okay, a shaita is a shaita. Everything he does is foolish. I saw this once in a certain place. I saw this where the person in charge should not have been there. He should not have been in charge. He was not roy for the position. He got there because he started out making good decisions, but it was only because of good luck. It was only because someone was telling him what to do. And the second that person wasn't at his side, everything he did was like foolish. And really, it's a very powerful limud hamusar here from this pasuk. Pasuk good base. Buzz l'reiyu chasar lev v'ish tivunas yacharish. Pasuk two. That means buzz a person who is a chasar lev is mevaze. Pasuk good base. All right, so the Rashi pasuk Yud Aleph Torah Keres Tiskayim Tikra Sabayis Begova Milipol Migova Milipol and Milipol, for that should not fall down. Now Rashi gives us a Medrash referring to the kings, referring he's applying this pasuk of leadership, Jewish leadership, reference to the Malchei Yisrael, the Malchei Yehuda. Be'od Shoyu Malchei Yehuda Yisharim Hemida Tefilasan. As base Hamidash, and there's Zuchus. This when we had tzaddikim, when we had kings that were tzaddikim. The last one was Yoshiyahu. By Yekoinin Yirmiyo al Yoshe, he was the last tzaddik, the last king that was a tzaddik. When we had kings that were tzaddikim, then there's Zuchus and their Koyach Atfilah, the base Hamidash, the keres here, according to the Medrash, the base Hamidash it stood. But when the tzaddikim, we no longer had kings that were tzaddikim. We had Menashe and Omoin and worse. And then the Migdash was scharaf. Pasuk Yidbeis Buzz L'Reihu Chasar Lev Ish Tivunas Yachrish. Pasuk Yidbeis the Mitzvah of Buzz Hamevazel Lecha Verhu Chasar Lev. Anyone that's foolish enough to be mevazel someone, it's not a good idea to be mevazel a person that's an indication that the person is a fool, is a chasar lev. The Ish Tivunas Yachrish Imishem Mevazel Sohu Ish Tivunas. If the victim, this is how the Mitzvah of John Pasuk, if the victim is a wise man, he won't say anything. Oz Yachush v'lo yanehu al kol d'rov v'lo yachush v'lo divrei chasar lev. A person embarrasses you, the best thing is silence. The best thing is not to talk back. Right? What's the expression Chazal? I don't remember, but the best thing here is one more time. Baz l'reihu chasar lev, the one that does this mevaze, he is a foolish person. And the wise man, when he hears the b'zionos, he's silent. That means he is a wise man. Pasuk Yibes in the Rashi, v'ishunus yachrish kishemevazeu hachasar lev kmo shol. What does it say about shol? Vayevazeu v'lehevi loy mincha v'hi kemachrish. Shol, the people mevaze shol. They mevaze shol and he was silent. So he was mekayim this pasuk that the people that were mevazeh and they were chasar lev, but he that was silent was wise. One more quick pasuk holich rachel megal esoid v'neman ruach mechasadover. A tale bearer is megal esol, is megal reveal secrets. V'neman ruach, a person that is a faithful spirit, it's a beautiful expression. A neman ruach, he is mechasadov, he hides secrets. Mitzudos pasuk yud gimel megal esoid hamegal esoid chaver harayu holich ruach. A person that reveals people's secrets is a holich ruach. Im los sibra brios lefnei mi shenemar lav. Even if he doesn't still tell people who said about, he does not say exactly who he's referring to. Ki chavercha chavre islay v'yigule hadavar gam elav. It will be revealed to him, even though you do not. One more time. Hamagala soid chaver harei holich ruach v'af im lo siper hadavar lefnei mi shenemar lav. Even though you did not say it in front of the person, it doesn't matter. It will get back to him. Ki chavercha chavre islay v'yigule hadavar gam elav. So in other words, if Reuven speaks in front of a group of three people, or in front of one person, Reuven says to Shimon, I want to tell you what Levi did, but don't tell him. Don't tell him. I'm telling you Lashon Hara. Levi did this, but don't tell him. There's no way it's not going to happen. Ultimately, Levi is going to find out what Reuven said about him. So that's what the Pasuk of Yud says, Hoylich Rachel Legal Esoit. When you reveal a soul, when you reveal a secret, according to the Mitzvah Stavid, automatically you're a Hoylich Rachel. It's going to travel. Hoylich, it has its own legs. Rachel, you're like a tail bear. You're going from person to person. But a person who's a fatal person, the chasadavar will keep secrets. There, Rav Hudna says that what's the difference between telling a secret and revealing and saying something publicly? A secret is something it's information that you reveal to one person at a time. When you make an announcement, you get out in front of Shul Rabbi, so I want to tell you something. A following announcement. What's the secret? Let me tell you something very important. That's the only difference between a secret and there's no such thing as secrets. Everything is, the whole world's going to know about it. It's just how you say it to one person at a time. Okay, that is alluded to at least here in this. That is one very powerful chazal. Who the chazal applied this? And this is magi halacha lemaisa. This is serious stuff. Here, such horror stories like this about dayanim. Let us say there is a din Torah, and there are 3 dayanim, or there are 5 dayanim, or there are 23 dayanim, and it's a very difficult case, very tough situation, and the court is split. Okay, like a simple case. There are 3 dayanim, and the question is: Reuven chayef to pay Shimon $1 million? There are such cases like that today. Okay, serious dinei Torah. And the best in Paskins, Reuven is chayef. So Reuven obviously is not going to talk to the 3 dayanim. Human nature. These 3 dayanim paskined against me? I'm not davening in their shul. And if they are beside their kedushin, I'm walking out. And if they are speaking at the convention, I'm going to walk out. They were mechayiv me $1 million shaloi kedin. What do you mean shaloi kedin? This is a legal din Torah, square and fair. That's how it was. Yeah, for them maybe not for me. So one of the 3 dayanim realizes that this person is not going to be on speaking terms with him. So he says to him, "Listen, you know it was a court. We follow the majority. I." Was in your favor. It was the other two. The other 2 dayanim, they outnumbered me, but I wanted to decide in your favor that you're free, that you're not chayav $1 million. So don't hate me. If you want to hate someone, hate them. I'm not the one. So Chazal very specifically dash in this pasuk of Hoylech Rachel Megalas Soid in this instance, that dayanim are not allowed to tell the Balei Din and the litigants who favored who. Not like the Supreme Court today when they issue a decision, so it's revealed.
What are dayanim today?
Who are dayanim today?
Who are the dayanim today? Who are
today's
dayanim?
I can't, I don't hear what you say.
Why not?
This is also true today. Today is also the Maisim Chol
Yoyim. Today's dayanim, they'll take, if you have this case, you go to the dayan,
they're not allowed to
give him money, and he'll like you
you're not.
Okay.
It's interesting that. Okay, I don't know. I don't know how this works in halacha. But every so often I listen to a tale of Jewish history from a Steven Przanski or from someone else, and they talk about in the state of Israel when they made major decisions. So the custom is that a lot of the decisions were, it was a very, very close vote. It can be 51 against 49, whatever the situation is. But after it's decided that the majority has prevailed and we're going to do something, you vote again.
Unanimous.
You vote again that it should be unanimous. So there's nothing to it because you avoid the problem to some degree of Hoylech Rachel Megalas Sod. You lose the temptation. Don't blame me. Don't blame me that you lost. I voted in your favor. Oh, really? You voted in my favor, but then you voted again, and it was unanimous. So you made a statement. If you really are a person of principle, you would not have been able to go to participate in the unanimous vote. You would have left it. It's 51 to 49. That's the law. The law has been passed. The decision has been made. And you maintain your ground. Then you would say, don't blame me. I wanted to save you. But being that it's very common, you hear this in different, and I don't know all the details, but there is... You have this? What?
Haven't jury cases?
They vote against Nachum Olsh, unanimous?
No.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's what the Gemara said.
They talk about it. They don't announce the vote, but it's saying, well, this is an interesting idea, which I don't know how, I don't know if this applies in halacha, how this works in halacha, if there is such a thing, but I do know for sure in the state of Israel, okay, among the cabinet, the major issues of going to war, not declaring war, not going to war, I don't remember all the details, but I think in all the very significant decisions that were made on Eretz Yisrael in this generation, in the past generation, they went through this process of a very tough decision. There was division, there was disagreement, and then after it was decided, the majority prevailed, they voted again, it should be unanimous, so there should be no conflict. And that, very interestingly, has a psychological effect and relating to how what this pasuk says, where Chazal specifically applied this to the judges. Judge, don't go tell the litigant that don't blame me. The other was the other judge. If you're going to vote again when everything is said and done, guilty, so then the litigant can't even have a yetzara to say, don't blame me, I voted in your favor. Yeah, you voted in my favor the first time around, but you didn't vote in my favor the second time around. And it wasn't even necessary for you to vote the second time around. Because even if you would have not voted the second time around guilty, I would have been guilty because the majority wins. The majority wins. So it does, to a certain degree, take away this desire to be a hoylech rochel megalah site. All right, let us stop here.
The last part of the mitzvah
says, "V'neman ruach mi sheruchu nemanu laHashem." A person is faithful to Hashem, who malim kol davar, he hides, he conceals kol davar. V'imloy nemar besoid. V'imloy. I'm not sure what this means. I don't know. I'm not sure how to translate it. I'm not sure. We'll have to come back to this next time. Okay, we'll try to come back to the next time.